doubt. It's necessary to exercise our faith. Doubt is. Yeah, necessary. See, doubt and faith, they have to exist together. It's sort of as if I'm getting to the end of things at the beginning, but I want to start here by saying, see, when we don't know something for sure, faith makes it possible for us to keep going, to move forward, even though we don't know it. And when we doubt, faith helps us to believe through the doubt. See, if we didn't doubt, there wouldn't be any need for faith. Hold on to that for a second. Let me share with you some quotes from, well, some people. I'm not sure of one of them, but my favorite one, I think, is from Anne Lamott. Faith without doubt isn't faith at all. It's certainty. Or from Elie Wiesel, faith without doubt isn't faith at all. It's indifference. And then these words from the poet Cahill Gibran. Doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. Today's Bible reading talks about Abraham and Sarah, and it praises their faith. And it describes faith right at the beginning as the assurance, there's certainty, right? The assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. So when I say the opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's certainty, and here I have in a definition from Hebrews that I am, I guess, in conflict with. See, I don't know if I can live up to assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because all too often, here's me. I live with doubt bigger than belief. It's if I was in a group of friends and I said that, I'd say, that's just how I roll. If I'm a pastor in the pulpit, I'll say, it's just kind of part of who I am. I have doubt that's bigger than my belief. So, it's a big question. Do bigger doubts negate faith? Because if we've established that you really don't show faith if you don't have any doubt, how about doubt that is just so much, like, I don't even know. I don't even know if I can believe at all. My doubt is so big. And here's the short answer. The short answer is no. Bigger doubts don't negate faith. Because doubt and faith are inextricably linked. They are together. They have to be together. But the big question is, what negates faith? And my short answer, and it's somewhat snarky even, because it goes against years and years of teaching, what I learned in Sunday school, and years of what I've learned throughout my life, and I've already said it today. What negates faith? Certainty. If you're certain about something, you don't need faith. Let me oversimplify something and go deep. There is modern thought and there is postmodern thought. Are those terms at all familiar to you? Modern. And modern is different than, oh, we've modernized our kitchen. And postmodern, what does postmodern mean to you? It's one of those wacky jargon words that you don't care to know about. I don't know. Here's modern thought says this. It says, it can be known, and you keep searching until you find the answer. And when you find the answer, you don't need to keep searching. You search for something else. But it can be known. And there are things you can be certain of, and you spend your life finding what you can be certain of. And postmodern thought says, it cannot be known. You keep searching. And searching. And searching. And in modern thought, the answer is important because you are finding the answer. That's what you seek. And in postmodern thought, the question is important. And so you keep questioning. And these two are really in conflict with one another. And in society today, we have both present. Because if you were born pretty much before 1970 or 65 or 60, it depends, and it's not exact, you kind of live in a modern world of answers. You look for answers. And if you were born after that, the Generation X, the Millennials, people who were born after 1990 even, the question is so important. And the question continues. And the fact that there isn't an answer isn't all that disconcerting. So there's no answer. We just keep asking questions. What do you mean you don't have an answer? Don't you need an answer? You need to have an answer in order to move forward. No, not really. Not so much. I'm okay with not knowing. I'm okay with wondering. I'm okay with the doubt, with the unsettled, yeah, it's all right. Are you kidding? How can you live like that? And so we've got this area in here that, well, see, the church pretty much lives in the modern world. It has been. St. Paul's is a modern church, and we look for answers. And we want answers, and we want solid statements. This is who we are. This is what we do. This is exactly what we believe. And you see this on church websites all the time. I'm a little bit loud. Can you bring my ring down a little bit? We see it on church websites. We see it all over the place of what we believe. This is it. This is it. And this is what happens, and this is what you need to do. And if you follow these rules, this is how your life will be. And when you die, you get to go to heaven. Is there a heaven? I don't know. Does God really exist? I'm not sure. I mean, maybe God exists. Maybe, well, there's a lot of things that are good. I should do all those things. Not really sure about all of the supernatural stuff. I'm not really sure of how it all works together, but I'm okay with that. I'm going to do the things that make the world a better place. Well, of course you're going to do the things that work make the world a better place, but it has to be because of this. Yeah, not really. Can't I just, you know, do the right things? That's not going to get you into heaven. You see, only God can get you into heaven, and you have to believe this way. Yeah, really? I'm not sure. You better be sure. Yeah, really? I don't think so. I'm not sure, but all right. I think it's okay that you want that and you believe that and that's the way you think. It's not the way I think. But you have to think that way. Yeah, not really. There's this conflict in between here, and this is the world that St. Paul's lives in. There are people right here. There are people right here. There are people kind of in between going, what is going on? Why does he keep walking back and forth? And doubt is present here. The modern world, though, says doubt is no good. And the postmodern world says doubt is good. It's what gives us the appetite to learn and to seek. Doubt is bad. It keeps us from believing. In the United Church of Christ, we have people all over the map on that too. And we have a statement of faith. It's in the bulletin today. You see it there? Here's the thing about the UCC statement of faith. It is not a testament that says this is what you have to believe in order to be a member of St. Paul's or of the United Church of Christ. It's not a litmus test. It's a testimony of people who have gone before us. It's not a take it or leave it, but it's something that helps us to appreciate where other people have been as we kind of try to figure out where we are on this faith journey. About 6 years ago, at the time, I think she was a seminary student, and I'm pretty sure her name was Alyssa Yonk. And she presented a look at the United Church of Christ statement of faith, along with the statements that go with it of wonder and awe. To the modern side, it would be doubt and bad, and to the postmodern side, maybe I should phrase it more as wonder and awe and uncertainty about it. I'm not sure if she did it exactly this way, but I remember the flavor of it. And it's been something that's stuck with me, and I've taken the same attitude with something like the Apostles' Creed. I actually wrote, there was a song, I don't remember the name of the song anymore, but the song was about doubt. It was a Christian music song by, I think, the band Barlow Girl. Barlow Girl, anyone? And so I wrote this Bible study, and it was about doubt. And it ended not with certainty. It ended with, well, it's important to discover. It's important to search. And the magazine I was writing for was very unsettled with the unsettled ending to this Bible study, so they changed it. They said, you know, it's difficult sometimes to know. And then they added, but if you really want to know for sure, you can. And then they laid out the four spiritual laws and say the sinner's prayer and everything. And I still write for this magazine, but I tell you, I was not pleased. Now I recognize that when I write things for this magazine, I'm the author, but the editors have the right to make changes and stuff. It's kind of the way stuff goes like that. It's kind of the life of being a writer and an artist. Other people mess with your stuff all the time. But I couldn't believe that they took the flavor of this and just spun it on its heel. So I yelled. And they said, they're sorry, but yeah, we can do that. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to keep writing stuff that's going to make you nervous and edgy, and I hope that you'll publish them the way that I write them. And pretty much they have since then. As a matter of fact, this magazine, it's a conservative magazine for youth groups. They write Bible studies, or different people write Bible studies based on either songs that are Christian music or songs that are on just regular radio. Most recently, I wrote two different Bible studies for them because they were for songs that no way would they ever want to publish in their magazine. And so I essentially dared them. I'm not sure yet. They probably will. But I haven't seen it yet because I just finished them about a week ago. But I wrote them for Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines. You know that song? Anyone know that song? Oh, there we go. We got some. And for Daft Punk's Get Lucky. Blurred Lines is about the good and the bad, and it's the video for it is really dirty. Would you say? Yeah, you've seen it. Anyone else seen it? Russ, you've seen it? There we go. Okay. Oh, I just named you. There we go. And then Daft Punk, Get Lucky, is about exactly what you think it's about. So I wrote a Bible study. One was about the good and the bad in all of us, and trying to be at least exploring what all that means. And then the other was, actually there's a line in the Daft Punk song that says, we've come too far to give up who we are. So I focused on that. I focused on what would you not give up as you go along life's journey. So I think the Bible studies are pretty good. You'll have to do them in youth group, right? Maybe. Anyway, so I tend to like to write outside of that box. And what Alyssa Yonk did was really outside the box, even for the United Church of Christ, because we have this statement of faith that we say occasionally, especially on Confirmation Sunday and maybe on Reformation Sunday. But I want us to read it with pauses right now. I'm going to start with something, and then I'll just sort of have you go. Like the first part, where's our... Each little segment we'll stop, and I'll say a little bit. So it starts like this. I often wonder if you even exist. I wonder why you let such awful things happen in the world. I wonder if you even care. But, first line, I believe in you, O God. You say it with me. I believe in you, O God, eternal spirit, God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God, and to your deeds we testify. Scientists and religious folk argue too much about things like creation and evolution. I wish you would simply tell everyone that the Bible isn't a science book and that you made us as people who can think and discover and even create, because you call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. I've made mistakes, make mistakes all the time. Most everyone I know, everyone I know makes mistakes all the time. Why do you let that happen? Do you really seek this? You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. I try not to look down on people who do things differently than I do or who hold different opinions than I do. But sometimes people act so awfully that it's hard to trust that. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. Do you really know what it's like for us here? Can you feel pain? Have you experienced failure? Have you ever been completely devastated? In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. Wish I knew that you were really near all the time. I wish I knew that you were always doing the things that I say you do, redeeming us as we continually mess up. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. Couldn't you just do it all? Can't you fix everything? Why don't you? You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. I don't know if I have the faith, the strength, the persistence, or even the love to follow you. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. So, do you have faith? I think so. Do you doubt? You're not only not alone, you're among the vast majority, maybe among the entire race of humanity. What does God think about all of that? I'm not sure. But my guess, it's all good. Have a little faith.